Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hey Kids Comics. We're on issue 85, I think.
I believe that may be the case. I will, while you introduce, I will...
Well, let's put it this way. If it's not, Erica's going to let us know, so...
That's true, and thank you, Erica, and we do have an answer for you. What became of that missing issue?
We found some lost footage.
Yeah.
It was unearthed. It was buried in the corner of a ruins cabin in the Pine Barrens in New Jersey. So,
and this is fact number 86.
This is 86. All right, 86. It is
86. I know there's a lot of concern about what happened to 83.
That's the one.
I believe
83
was the one that's missing. No, I stand corrected.
82. Maybe it was 82. I thought it was 82. But the footage has been found. We are having to go to a forensic audiologist to get it put back together.
Actually, I cannot seem to figure out which issue disappeared, but I'm working on it.
That's part of the mystery. That's part of the mystery. But rest assured, the
it
lost
might have been 81 that disappeared on it.
Whichever lost issue it was has been found, at least in its rawest form, and is being rebuilt right now for a release at some point in the near future. So rest assured that the lost tapes. Tonight we are going to talk about the trials and tribulations of time travel in comic books. An issue that Cole has adroitly named Time Troubles.
Time Troubles, yes. Because I'm troubled by time travel and the use of time. How... It's almost like a milk run for some characters in comics to travel through various portions of the time stream.
Right. It certainly is. There are characters out there, and I want to go ahead and subtitle this entire issue, "Damn It, Kang."
That's a good thing, because God knows.
That's the worst. Kang is the worst. But we'll get into that, I'm sure, in depth in a little bit. That's the first thing when we were discussing this topic, the first thing that came into my mind was just Kang.
Yeah.
Damn it, man. Damn it, you purple bastard. Damn it. So
yeah, he's probably amongst the chief offenders, because he basically, you know, runs riot over the time stream.
Right. Is there a time stream with him anymore, or is it just like...
I think what he's done is kind of damned the time stream, and then he can sort of like open the floodgates as necessary. It's like if you got this really rich guy and he went and like dammed off the stream up from the town, and then that way he could like turn all the water off, and then he could have his people put his kayak out in the middle of the dry riverbed there.
Right.
And then they would open the floodgates, and then he would be like, you know, have his own personal what have you.
I think he's just lonely.
Well, you can't help but be lonely when you're three different people.
At least three different people.
And that's, again, one of the biggest problems with messing with time.
Messing with time.
I think it's bad news to mess with Sasquatch. You just start messing with the time stream. It will mess you up.
It will. It inevitably messes you up. It makes you different people. We were discussing offline the idea that Cole has an idea. Cole was and is an aspiring comic book writer.
Yeah.
And he has a character that he's created, and I will let him further explain it, because I want him to. He was like, I want you to, because it's a really cool concept. But I have a problem with the character a little bit. So go ahead and explain the character, and then I'll tell you why I have an issue with it.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, I got myself into this by mentioning it ahead of the show. But I have a character who I wanted to address my views of time travel. And that was basically that conceptually what I see is that time, you can move through it forward or backward, but there are limitations. You can go forward all day long. You can go into tomorrow. You can go into next year. You can go into 10 years from now. The problem with that is that it doesn't work in the opposite direction. you can travel back in time, but only as an observer. So it complicates exactly how far forward in time you might want to go.
Okay.
Because if you go 10 years forward in time, hey, presto, you've lost 10 years. Because you can only go back in time as an ethereal kind of observer. You're a ghost, essentially. And not in the manipulating bottle caps or doorknobs Swayze way. I'm talking about...
Listen, Swayze manipulated a lot more than bottle caps.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to keep it clean or something.
Why?
Yeah, what show is this? But
I wanted
to use that character as basically a means to establish how time travel was going to work, so that it always kept me honest when tempted to mess with time.
Right.
Because otherwise you get all of the paradoxes and all of the things where nine people come from the future and they're all within 5 years of each other, yet each of them has such a complex future ahead of them that they can't all possibly interconnect.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And Commandy's future and the Legion of Superheroes' future.
Yes.
There's no synergy there. I mean, there isn't a period where the Legion said, yeah, you know, the Bulldogs dying like men part of the Earth really sucked. But we cleaned that up. We paved it over. We put all the animal people down. What? Get Rip Hunter to pick us up. Take us back to before I said that.
Right. All right. Let me take a step 30 seconds back in time.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we want to find out what your past self had issues with.
So what?
With my issues.
With my issues. Right. Which was always my problem. And I say this with a grain of salt, because it was a fantastic story arc, and it was a it was a standalone story, and it was fantastic, and we've talked about it at great length on this show, and that is Kingdom Come. But my problem with Kingdom Come was when they decided this isn't just going to be a standalone Elseworlds book. We're gonna fold this. We're gonna fold this into the DC continuity proper. At different intervals and points, with the illusion that eventually this is what the DC universe could become, unless things are done now to stop it.
Yeah,
that doesn't work.
Yeah, that's the problem, because I think what happens in that case, that's a good example of falling in love with your unwanted baby. In other words, as a future scenario, Kingdom Come is not a pretty picture. It's not the sort of thing. It's like, hey, look, we just bought all these Charlton characters. Alan Moore is now going to kill and destroy them all, or ruin all of them.
Oh, my God. Are we really doing this?
You're doing
this. Did this just happen? It's been a while.
Yeah. I'm always poised. I have Watchmen just like, it's like a hawk on my shoulder ready to pounce in the way hawks pounce.
One day the world is going to look down at me and look up at me and ask me if we cannot talk about Watchmen tonight, and I'm going to look back up or down at them and say no.
That's right. I will simply say no. And then I'll talk about Watchmen.
Right.
And that's what they get for asking. So don't ask humanity, because it doesn't matter. I'm going to bring it into the picture. We can do a whole show on Aquaman, and by God, I'll talk about Watchmen.
And Watchmen will get folded into Aquaman. I'm not sure.
That's right.
I'm trying to look for the time travel. I'm curious to see where you're going to take this in a time travel perspective. So
I actually had already planned to invoke Watchmen in a different way. But in this particular case, you know, Watchmen was born out of, we can't let all these characters we just bought be completely destroyed. Otherwise, we can't do a whole series on Blue Beetle or The Question, especially The Question, or Captain Atom.
Right.
Because they're now too gritty, dark, or dead. And, or gone. So what happened was it became something else. And that was a true Elseworlds. In other words, that was never meant to be part of the DC continuity. And as much as people love drawing slugfests between Batman and Rorschach, not going to happen. So, that said, what happened with Kingdom Come was, you're not like, you know, we just paid cash money for this. Please don't ruin it. It's like, let's see what we could do if we did that same sort of Watchmen thing with the characters you know and love. It's like sending Donald Duck to war.
Yeah, it's like killing because Archie. Oh, wait.
Yeah. And, you know, I applaud, though, because the cover I've seen for The Death of Archie, just to go a little off, looks like I get the impression somebody shot him.
Right.
And I want to say I applaud Archie Comics for finally doing what the Punisher couldn't.
Someone out there did what Punisher, right, yes.
I mean, for those of you who remember Archie Meets the Punisher, Punisher failed completely to murder Archie. So I think it's the Scourge of the Underworld.
Yeah, really?
I have a feeling it's the Scourge of the Underworld.
Which one is it?
It's like, I think it's going to turn out that all along, even back in the 90s.
Oh, God, here we go, yeah.
They're 85 or whatever it was always Jughead Jones.
You think Jughead was the Scourge of the Underworld?
I think Jughead Jones was the one.
Here's what I want, and this is, I don't even care if it's off topic. It's been a long week, and I haven't podcasted enough, and I miss you guys, so here's what I want. I want the Frank Miller, Alan Moore, I guess more Grant Morrison than anything, side book to Archie. Like, so you've got your main story, right? How many years of Archie continuity are there now that you can...
Something on the, like, he's like the 75-year-old teenager.
Right.
He should be nearly 100 now.
I want somebody to go back, call all of those Archie comics, and write a book about what's happening in the background or just to the side of what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, like murders and awful.
Oh, yeah,
awful
the skeletons
things.
In Mr. Weatherby's closet. I think if anyone is replete with sort of Norman Bates-esque psychosis under the veneer of civilization, it's Weatherby.
David Lynch's... Archie. That's what I want to see. I want to see Lost Highway. I want to see Archie Lost Highway. Weird Bill Pullman playing the saxophone.
I want to see like Riverdale Hell.
Exactly.
Archie Riverdale Hell. Somebody get to work on that.
Can somebody, not you, Bobby. Not you,
Bobby. Yeah, it would just look too happy.
We're already getting an email right now. Speaking of time travel, there was an email waiting on us 5 minutes ago with a treatment for Riverdale Hell.
Oh, wow. That's Bobby. Great.
So, because Bobby has the time travel. So
yes, he does.
So, back to time travel.
I think what happened, though, with Kingdom Come was that once that had happened, and because it was free of the constraints of being like, you know, this never happened, really. Being in Elseworlds, then all of a sudden, what came out of that were some really cool, amazing characters. And it's like, okay, that was a standalone story. There's nowhere else to go. You can't go and revisit these characters. So what do? You find a way to get them into continuity. You bring them over in ways that suggest, well, it's kind of possible it could happen. Probably won't. But it, you know, they literally—they were the unwanted children that you couldn't. What's not to love?
The thing was, the only thing that I agree with, okay, was that as readers, we were given this idea almost like a "It's a Wonderful Life" scenario, where if the DC comics that you know and love, which of course they're not, and we always have to remind ourselves as readers. And we've talked about this, and we talked about this early on, that comics aren't real, you guys. Like, these characters don't exist in their own... This isn't Last Action Hero. Arnold Schwarzenegger is not... You can't walk through the movie screen and Arnold Schwarzenegger is real. But if the DC comics that you know and love continued on the path that they were on, that Kingdom Come would be the end result. That is the future.
Yeah.
What we saw was the future book.
You almost see like Magog there, you know, pointing at the Legion of Superheroes saying, we're the future, not them.
We're the future.
We're the future, Clark, not them. Which would be a real slap in the face for Clark because in the weirdest time travel paradox what have you, the retrofitted Superboy joins the of the past in Superman's own continuity joins the Legion of Superheroes in Superman's own continuity's future.
Right.
Weirdest Therefore, ever. Our one of our members that we just almost didn't get in, because he got the big no from
the
triumvirate there, and somehow still edged in, or, you know, bought his way in or something. You know, it's like they all know what's going to happen. It's like if it was John F. Kennedy time travel, it'd be kind of awkward to, you know, have Senator Kennedy be part of your future group, knowing that when he goes back home, you know, it's like, hey, Superman, check out the Superman Museum, except this wing. Don't go into the D wing.
Right.
Why? What's there? Nope. And, you know, he's looking with his X-ray vision, and Pharaoh Lad's trying desperately to, like, conjure up lead instead of iron. he forgot. No, it's, what is lead? Is it L? And, you know, all of a sudden he's like, whoa, what's the crusty guy there with all the spikes? What's going on? Oh, is that me?
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, and the hair?
Oh,
seriously?
What's the hair?
Super mullet?
Why am I red and blue? Why am I red and blue? What is going on with this?
Electro, I don't. Is this even? Is it like a joke? What day is this? You guys have April Fools in the future? I don't know.
What kind of calendar are you using up here?
Yeah, that's right. It's the Triclidian calendar.
Oh. I'm gonna let that hang.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a bad pun in and of itself. So. You're right. That was a
choice of calendars there.
That was awful because, you know, you couldn't have screwed up anything doing that, right? I mean,
yeah, you know, and if there is a probably the one of the worst, I think, would be the idea of Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, because you wanted to say, oh, looky, in the future, you don't have to be a sidekick as a teen.
Right.
You could be a teen superhero because it's like Naboo all of a sudden.
Oh, go on.
It can be like Queen at 17 years old or something.
It's like Naboo all of a sudden.
You know, if anything can come out of episode one, it should at least that we finally have a reference point for the Legion of Superheroes. Which, ironically, one of them was royalty. So.
That's true. That's true. Which one was it? It was
Projectra. Actually, it was Projectra. She was actually a proper princess. She didn't just, like, call herself princess. It wasn't just
princess.
Like what Dad called her, you know.
Wasn't Han Solo? Nobody was like, princess?
Princess Projectra.
But while we're talking about awful time travel scenarios and characters, Cole and I share a hatred. just a vitriolic hatred for one time-traveling character in and of itself. And that character that character is Cable.
Cable is public enemy number one for the time stream, as far as I'm concerned, or the time-travel concept.
Well, what was he? He was Nathan Summers, right? So he was the son of Gene and Scott.
Yeah.
That then got sent to the future. Why? I'm trying to remember why. Because he was too powerful, or...
I think it was like camp, wasn't it?
It was like camp! It was like he was making moccasins
and
wallets.
They were going to go visit their friends at the Fantastic Four, and he was being a complete ass, and they're like, okay, we're going to send you to, I don't know, the future. Can we borrow your Doctor Doom time plate?
Right, your time...
Your time...
Tile.
Square there, your time tile.
Your time tile.
And just, you know, tossed his ass into the future. And then they forgot, a very sort of Home Alone type of thing. And then he comes back as a cyborg with a giant gun and tiny feet.
And no, he's always... It's funny how in the future you're always standing in water. It's pretty amazing.
It's a very wet future.
It is.
You know, a lot of people are concerned about evaporation from global warming. It's going to be wet. It's tropical everywhere.
It is a wet.
It's like Seattle worldwide.
It's a wet future.
Yeah, it's a wet future.
But yeah, so why do you hate him?
There are many of the reasons I hate him, but really I want to concentrate on the whole time travel thing. And he just sort of represents. He became the poster child for. You know, walking up out of the future.
Right.
And declaring, you know, silence primitives and
See, I always saw him as the Marvel needed at that period. Keep in mind, we're talking about the late 80s, early 90s. And we're talking about the X-Men in the late 80s and early 90s, to be more to the point. Not
exactly.
So what Marvel needed at that point was a Winston Wolf. Somebody that they could call down to fix any problem that they could possibly have, and they created that with Cable. Like, well, what can we do? Well, let's have this character that that's like the most powerful mutant ever, and he'll have a technovirus that's turning him into a cyborg, so he's going to look really cool, but he also has telekinesis to hold it all in place so he doesn't fully become this weird robot man.
That's right.
But more important than anything, we're going to have the ability to time slide, so he can slide between the past and the future seamlessly. So what's going to happen is anytime that somebody goes to the fridge to grab the mayo and the mayo's 4 days bad, but they don't know it because Bobby Drake hasn't checked the date on the mayo.
Of all people,
the back of the fridge can open up and Cable can come out and the mayo's bad and take it. If you would have eaten that, you would have died and changed the time stream. What do you think you're doing, you asshole? All you're doing is
why are you? Why do you get to be the one who makes that decision?
Who made you time police?
Yeah, he's sort of the self-imposed. I'll decide who lives and who dies of bad mayo. Probably goes and switches it out. He doesn't even go and buy a fresh jar. He just goes to somebody's house who's got a fresher jar in their time fridge. Switches them out, and then some guy that looks like Stan Lee croaks it because he ate the old mayo that Bobby Drake nearly died of.
Time fridge on AMC.
That's right. After that time fridge.
Yeah, it was
kind of a refrigerator time machine.
Yeah, he was an awful concept character. Matter of fact, Rob Liefeld. Liefeld, I don't care. Shut up. It was hard pressed, and the thing is, it's sloppy writing.
Yes.
That's
well, you know, time travel itself to me is just, unless you're prepared to invest heavily in the dynamics of time travel and make it, you know, set in stone that these are the rules.
Right.
And nothing breaks them. And what the rules ultimately do is challenge a writer to find ways to seemingly break the rules without breaking them.
Right.
That's why I did that to myself, because it forced me to say, you know, if I want to do a character that's like Cable, I have to find a reason that that's even possible, because I've already made it impossible. And I get a better character that I actually liked more than I intended to, because it was meant to be a throwaway, because the I hate Cable character, and it turned out to be a damn fine character.
Right. That's the way it always works, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
the ones
absolutely.
You hate the most are the ones that you embrace the most. So, yeah, Cable, just stupid. Stupid character.
Cable could go away. And the problem with Cable is that then it becomes sort of like the old thing they used to do on back when Craig Kilborn was doing the Daily Show in the early days.
Yeah.
They'd do the five questions, and it was like, who is more frightening, Joe Pesci or Joe Pesci's friends?
Right.
And it's like, you know, who's worse, Cable or Cable's friends? Because he brings with him an entourage of ridiculous characters. Because it opened the door to a veritable shit stream stupidest characters in comics history.
Right.
Because, oh, they're from the future. They don't have to matter or make sense. Or, you know, as long as they've got guns that are 97 inches long. And
pouches on top of pouches.
Yeah. And pouches inside of which are other pouched pouches, you know, and they've got this gun that's half a yard, you know, 7 yards long, but weighs 5 ounces, because apparently the metal is like, you know, heliomatic or something. It's just, it's incredibly lightweight, but, you know, and it shoots energy beams that we don't feel compelled to explain. They do what they do, and they do it well.
They're from the future.
Yeah.
All right. We don't have to explain them. And I think that's the other thing that really frustrates me about this topic is it's from the future. We don't have to explain it.
That's right. Can you explain the cigarette lighter to Australopithecine man? Of course not. Same idea. Yeah, you have just come down from the trees, and Cable has arrived with something your primitive little brain could never conceive of. You're still rubbing the sticks together.
So we don't have to explain it to you. No. If you travel into the past, you automatically have to explain whatever that is. You know, whatever.
And whenever possible, teach people how to, like, you know, refine fossil fuels.
Right,
gear shifts and carburetors and things, so you can build your auto chariot or whatever. Because you drive a car and maybe you change the oil every, you know, on the weekend every 3 or 4 months, somehow you can actually help primitive people build a car.
Because if you can make fried bologna, you're a god. You're a god among men. It should be venerated. Egyptians.
Somehow it inspires people to take the knowledge they never had in directions they never thought of.
But in the future, you don't have to explain anything. If you're from the future,
that's right.
You're just whatever, dude. It's fine.
That's right. It's your boomstick. That's all you need to know.
That's right. So, all right, we've been bitching for like 20 minutes. Yeah. So let's bring it around to something positive. what did anybody get it right, or at least right enough that you can speak to that?
Yeah, the thing about it is, I guess because I tend to avoid those sort of stories, there was a story, I can't recall if it was what the circumstances were, but there was a fun story where Superman was thrown back in time.
Okay.
And periodically, somehow, they would, like, you know, drag him a few centuries forward. And, you know, basically the whole arc was an excuse to, let's have Superman fight this, you know, in this period. Let's have him fight in that period. You know, let's have Cave Superman or what have you.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of the time travel stuff, especially if you're going back in time as an excuse to basically, you know, displace a character in time and have fun with what it would be like if they, as modern superhero, got time bulleted into the past or what have you.
Yeah.
And then again, when the opposite direction, when you go into the future, then it gets a little tenuous because everybody's had a different idea at the same company on what that future means.
Yeah.
But in the past, I can't remember the exact dynamics or who sent him there. If it was Mr. Mixel or,
that's a whole nother situation that we can discuss at some point. Is the characters the impossible? What is it, Mr. Impossible, Mr. Mixelplick, and
if it was Red Kryptonite or what it was, but he somehow winds up in back in time. There were some fun little stories of him in these various time periods, and also the struggle and the challenge to try to get back to his own time.
Right.
And that one was pretty satisfying as things like that go, but it was also a very satisfying period for the Superman titles, of which there were 4. And they had a pretty good synergy at the time where, you know, if you read all 4, you were getting your money's worth because the storylines tended to move between the 4 titles. It wasn't like, you know, Spider-Man's 26 titles where, you know, simultaneously he's having 14, 6 or 8 story, you know, tight issue story arcs.
Right.
So, you know, in that way, that was a pretty satisfying one. Once you dispense with the idea of the fact that they are in their own universe's own future,
right?
The Legion of Superheroes was a good place to write stories you couldn't write in a contemporary way. And one of the things that did was allow a lot greater connection with the greater DC Universe in the sense of other galaxies, other planets, other races, where the only big complaint there is in some ways it almost becomes like the opposite of going from the original Star Wars saga to the prequels.
Yeah.
Where they did bring in some of the alien races from the stories that are supposed to take place years later, but then they farted out 1,000 new races that you just don't see.
Yeah.
And arguably, you're not going to see absolutely everybody out there, but it seems a little contrived, like, you know, we got a bigger budget, we got more aliens.
Right, right.
And I'm hoping in 7 through 9 that they don't feel compelled to people that universe with 100% new aliens and dispense with everybody. Because that's the other problem is, like with the Star Trek franchise, they just pretty much disappeared all the silly little aliens instead of trying to make them more sensible. So in the sense of, you know, having a greater universe of fun, interesting alien races, it's a great way to do that, because in the future, ideally, you can say, oh, we got more contact. There's more, you know, we're now part of a greater community because Earth is a spacefarer.
And we can establish that these things exist in the, you know, in the world. That way we can use them later.
Yeah.
If we are so inclined. So.
But the problem is with that, like in any kind of creative pursuit like that, where a lot of people have a say in it, is rather than use an existing race, the next guy just comes up with his own new race.
Right.
And a little off topic, that's there was a wonderful series in the Teen Titans when they went off with Starfire to fight for her homeworld. They literally, I think it was it seems like a very conscious decision, limited the number of alien races that had impact on the story. So you kept seeing, like when they would go raid the base of the bad guys as they're trying to fight their way to the ultimate goal of saving everybody, you would see a lot of the same kinds of guy of, you know, these soldiers guarding were all the lizard guys that you'd seen on this ship or in this court or what have you.
Right.
And so you had a very finite number of races that you kept encountering, and that was really neat and very well thought out. And then after that storyline, that most of them disappeared from the greater DCU forever.
Right.
And I think that that's one of the problems you run into often with time travel when you're going into the future or even in the past and introducing compelling characters that then nobody ever bothers with again.
Right. Let us not forget the most disturbed reverse time traveler in existence. That would be one Sir Vandal Savage.
Ah, yes.
Poor Vandal Savage. I kind of feel bad for him. Because you got guys like Cable bouncing around through the time stream. Vandals had to live from the beginning of man's walking on two legs up to now. And just watching it all happen, unable to jump forward, knowing.
He's probably jealous. I'm surprised Vandal Savage never tried to lure somebody like Rip Hunter, you know, into his clutches.
That would have been a great book.
Yeah, to avail himself of that ability to move through time. And Rip Hunter was, as time travelers go, a bit of an ass, because he just sort of like, it's like, you know, daddy got you a new Corvette or something. Like, I've got this time bubble and I'm just going to drive around and do things. And I don't really, you know, a lot of times it seemed like it was more just him out goofing off than actually
there
achieving.
There wasn't a huge purpose to his, it's to just his like, bouncing.
Yeah, you're not a researcher. You're not writing a book. You're not helping anybody. You're not switching out the mayo or anything.
He was Matthew McConaughey from Dazed and Confused.
That's right. Do us a favor. Stay the hell out of the time stream.
Rip Hunter is the Matthew McConaughey of the DC Universe. I'm going on record with that one. That one makes me happy.
That's right. You heard it here now. And Rip Hunter fans everywhere will be gnashing their teeth when they find out the harsh reality.
We're going right now. We're going through a reconnaissance. All right. All right. All right. We're going through a reconnaissance right now. So,
some little thing from the time screen.
Yeah. Dallas Time Travelers Club. I'm selling memberships.
I'm not
in
charge of people to travel through time.
That was a spot on McConaughey, by the way, I just did. I am proud of that.
That's a tough one to do.
At 30 minutes into the show, I did a spot on McConaughey. That's just don't let him forget it.
All right, now I'm gonna bring you down to earth a little bit. I'm afraid you're gonna start. You know, this is gonna go to your head. And that was a damn fine McConaughey. I'll say, as someone who brings the voices very often to this show, that is one.
that was one of my better ones. You know my theory.
No. The thing is, I cannot match that. I cannot get close to that. I would like to think that I could do the McConaughey voice, but it eludes me. So I will go on record as saying that was a damn fine McConaughey.
Thank
and
you.
I hate you for that. But, you know, because I will often launch into Garrison Keillor or
you will
Gilbert Gottfried or any number of other voices at will, and I'm proud of you for that one.
I like the idea that you're willing to launch into Gilbert Gottfried. That is a great mental image that you've painted for me.
It's like loading yourself into a cannon.
It just firing yourself into Gilbert ducks. Gottfried.
Yeah, just there you are. It's like that. Oh, what was it in the? I can't even remember where there was like this great barrier.
Right. Well, I think
at the end of the, you know, of all time, where it was impenetrable, like Darkseid or Galactus,
it's
or something.
The wall. Yeah. The yeah. Oh, I forget what they call it now, but yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's just this big Gilbert Gottfried face. And just launch yourself headlong into it if you dare.
If your velocity is fast enough, you can pass through. Yeah. The Gilbert Gottfried face.
You have.
That is.
You have entered the Gottfried zone there.
That makes me so happy. I don't even know how to begin to explain.
This is like a kind of Gottfried kind of day here.
Okay, but bring me back down.
Yeah, to bring you back down to earth. I actually did have an angle on Watchmen, because you ask, you know, who did time travel right?
Right.
And ironically, in its way, Watchmen did just that. Because in his way, Dr. Manhattan was the consummate time traveler, because he was always simultaneously existing without the benefit of a time shift. He was at least within his own sphere of consciousness, was everywhere at once.
Right.
And that was one of the best images of the time stream I'd ever seen illustrated in words and pictures, in such a way that the very first time I read the issue, I think it was like number 5, where it's just all about Dr. Manhattan and his perception of time, it messed with my head in a serious way.
Okay.
Because you really got into his head. And then you start thinking, like, you know, as I'm turning the page, I'm simultaneously buying the first issue. Well, years later, buying two copies of the graffiti design slipcase leather on hardcover edition, only to buy the damn, whatever they call that, the absolute edition from DC many years later, while simultaneously not have, reading the article in one of those
preview magazines.
One of those upcoming preview things that DC used to put out, like DC like Direct Currents or things like that.
Yeah.
Where they first announced Watchmen, and I completely misinterpreted every character that was shown there. and then all of a sudden your brain just starts really short circuiting, like, okay, I need to stop thinking this way. I mean, especially at the time, I didn't know a lot of those things in the future, but now I can kind of retrofit that. But what I liked about that was that idea of being a puppet who can see the strings.
Right.
Because he's existing in his own future and his own past at the moment that the one is folding into the other, being the present. And even though the future is unfolding before his eyes, there's nothing. He's powerless to do anything about it.
Right.
Everything's preordained. He just happens to get a preview.
Yeah, he gets the slideshow. He gets
the
Viewmaster, and then there's nothing. You've already got it, so you might as well put in the next Star Wars round and see some dobacks.
That's right. Ooh, the Oval Office of the White House. But the Age of Dinosaurs. But the only other place I saw that same sort of perception of the future beautifully illustrated, it wasn't in a comic, but it was an award-winning episode of The X-Files that had Peter Boyle.
Okay.
And was describing to Scully his own death, because he's this guy who has sort of psychic abilities, but they're limited to literally seeing the death of people, how they're going to die.
Okay.
And when asked if he can see his own death, he's describing how, I forget the exact words, but it was an amazing, sort of image that you can't put your head around, because he's telling Scully that he sees her as he's dying and there are tears in her eyes. And of course that makes zero sense to her. And by the end of the episode,
Yeah.
You're like, holy crap, that's exactly what he said.
It's pretty
and it's
amazing,
not,
yeah.
yeah, and it's much like in Watchmen, where Dr. Manhattan is describing to Laurie that he can see hazy visions of the future because it's being blocked by a squall of tachyons, but he sees snow, he sees himself killing a man, and the rest is just little sketchy bits and pieces. And
See?
then you wind up in Antarctica and he blows up Rorschach. And you're
Right.
like, holy crap, it's snowing and he's killing a man.
Right. I have
That's not what I thought that meant.
but they did it so well that I hate them.
Yes. You
My
love it, hate it.
thing about time travel is this. I have one rule. You have one rule that is you can't go into the past. Right? My one rule is the same rule I have for almost any comic book, and it's one of the three pillars that at which the show is built on, and that is you can do whatever you want with time travel if you can make it not matter and you make it fun. You know what I mean? Like don't. That's just a rule. That should be a rule. Like if you want to take Mr. Banjo and send him into the past, you should be able to do that, and it should just be fun. You shouldn't be
I
able to.
think Mr. Banjo and Turner D. Century, especially, would
Oh!
be very much at home in the past.
They really would. They really would be fine. They would be just fine. No, but you know what I mean? If you're gonna do the future, that's fine. Make it serious. Make it something that's gonna affect continuity in the future. I don't care. It's like you said, right? Like the future is fine. But if you're going to send characters into the past, do not make it a serious thing, or do not make it something that's going to affect future. Don't let them change anything. Make it an
Well,
offshoot
how do you
timeline.
feel about Nick Fury and the Fantastic Four going back to late 30s, early 40s Germany, and giving a much, much older Nick Fury the opportunity to, at least on the cover, be standing behind Adolf Hitler with a rifle?
Did that happen?
That happened. That was during the John Byrne years.
Holy cow.
There were some clever things that they did with that, because they were hanging out with Nick and he had his little hover car.
Yeah.
And one of the neat things that Byrne did was suggest that, in addition to being able to fly, the hover car had a holographic generator. So when they wound up somehow getting time bulleted into the 40s,
Yeah.
he conjured up the hologram that was closest as possible to a period vehicle, and that was a UPS truck. And I thought, that is brilliant, because that is the most antique looking, that is almost the only thing that would be passable
Right.
of a modern vehicle
Wow, I did
in the
not.
40s.
What about the thing being Blackbeard? Was it Blackbeard that
I
was in
guess
it?
I the thing was a pirate at one point,
In the
and I don't know
far-flung
if you,
past?
yeah, I think that was actually during the Lee and Kirby years,
It
because I've
was
seen
very
which,
early on. It was very
yeah.
early on in the Fantastic Four, yeah.
And he grew either grew a beard or like did a face-off thing and just like scalped someone's face and put their face on his face.
How did he grow a beard? Somebody needs to
Yeah,
explain.
because
How can he grow a beard then?
yeah,
First of all,
and
how is
never
he the thing then? How is he not Ben Grimm? Like,
that, and he had an eye patch.
just,
That's the harder part. Was he just wearing it because it was the style, or
I think
was
so.
somebody actually able to somehow put out one of his indestructible eyes?
DI him? It couldn't.
DI him.
Deflesh I him? So what I was getting at when I was talking about that was there was a series, and yes, some of the stuff affected the future a little bit, but it's my favorite time travel, legitimate time travel. Captain America, I'm going to say, is my favorite time travel character because he's constantly time traveling. Once you've been frozen and unfrozen, and we've
Well,
talked at length.
he's got a one up on Vandal Savage. I mean, granted, he missed a lot of years because he was napping.
Jeez.
But at
Napping.
least he's had the benefit of getting to go back from time to time.
Yeah, but my thing about Cap is, we've talked about the fact that I feel like he's probably the most interesting character in comic books. I think he's probably the most damaged character in comic books. I don't think Batman can hold a candle to Cap's actual, you know, emotional baggage, that he handles better than Batman does. He handles it better. But beyond any of that stuff, there was a series in West Coast Avengers, and as I was doing the research for the show, it was like I was in therapy and I had repressed it, and as soon as I saw one cover of one comic book, the entire series came flooding back to me. There was a series called Lost in Space Time, and was it Englehart that wrote it? I think it was. It was 17 through 24. I think it was Steve Englehart. I don't want to go on complete record saying that, but here's what happened. The Avengers, through some, you know, crux of super villainy, gets sent. Yeah, it was Steve. Okay. And Joe Sinnott. Okay. Got sent into the Wild West and kind of got flung around a lot. But a lot of what they did took place in the Wild West. 1776, 1847, 1876, the 1910s, 1977, 1980. Yeah, like there was just every issue was like whoop 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 whoop. It was and it was just fun. Not to mention the fact that you get this introduction to they bring in characters that they hadn't brought in to the continuity for a really long time, like some of the villains from the Rawhide Kid and Kid Colt and the Two Gun Kid. You get the what were the name of the writers? I can't remember. And the heroes too. So the Phantom Rider and all those guys. And it's just
Like the original Ghost Rider.
Right, and it's just fun. It's not meant to.
So, in a lot of ways, sounds almost like a bit like what they did in Crisis on Infinite Earths by tapping into all of, you know, by at least giving in their attempt to like show absolutely everybody that ever existed in the DCU. They would, you know, there was a thing where like Andro.
Right.
The cave boy and his family suddenly wound up. Apparently, their cave was originally the Batcave. What would become the Batcave?
Really?
Because all of a sudden they wound up in Bruce Wayne's living room. So I'm guessing that, you know, if they were traveling only in time and not in space, as the Infinite Earths and Infinite Realities are all merging, they all of a sudden show up in Bruce Wayne's living room, which reminds me of a thing that, you know, there were all these time fluxes. And so, like, it was either in Gotham or maybe it was in Metropolis that there was, you know, they had, like, scenes where the whole city was, there'd be, like, dinosaurs and pirates and pilgrims and cowboys and, you know, all roaming the same streets as time kept flashing in and, you know, superimposing itself.
Yeah.
And they basically, at one point, I guess to kind of, the idea was to underscore this, as you see this news vendor, you know, hawking his newspaper and the latest edition of the Daily Planet. He's like, you know, time goes crazy. Read all about it. Will a caveman be your neighbor? And so my big question was, during the midst of all this fluctuations in the time stream, how are we still printing a newspaper?
I've got a bigger question.
And expecting to be economically viable when, you know, at any minute, like, let's say I go to work and it could be like all of a sudden I go to work in Metropolis and all of a sudden my building's been replaced by the Legion of Superheroes rocket ship headquarters. Or
the living rocket ship, the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah, or a bubbling mass of liquid hot magma from 150 billion years ago.
How did cavemen build credit that quickly?
Yeah, I think what happened was they found some various ores and various stones. And during that brief moment of the time flux, I think there was a scene where Andro goes to the Gotham First National.
Yeah.
And deposits that. So actually, Commandy is like a Googlerian there. by the time it doesn't matter because the economy has been ruined and bulldogs are dying like men. But if anything ever stabilizes in his world, he'll not only be the last boy on Earth, but he can tell Richie Rich to suck it because he's gonna be the richest boy on Earth.
By the way, the B story on that Avengers line was when Hank Pym gave up being a costume superhero and became Patchy Pocket Jacket. And this is the story arc which you see Moon Knight joining the West Coast Avengers. So this will always hold a special place in my heart. As
I can see where that would.
One of the greatest story arcs of all time. All right, we're coming up on it. You got any? You got any?
Yet
big
again.
Ones?
I know. We should go back in time and.
Can we go back in time?
Do we have that option?
It would create a whole nother show. It's a paradox. Erica would be really upset.
Yeah, it's bad enough we have that episode we're having to repeatedly promise to return to her.
Right.
Because we will have that. We are well in the process of getting that to the world. I hate that the time remains our enemy at times, which is an odd way to say time a lot.
Times. We have no time. This is the Nick Cage of Hey Kids Comics. We have no time. So do you have any big ones at the end here that you want to throw a shrimp on the Barbie with?
Wow. It seems like there was something.
Well, there are so many. That's the thing. Like, we didn't even talk about Kang and the fact that he's an asshole. But let's just leave it at that. Kang's an asshole.
We touched on that a little bit, but not as much as I think we wanted to.
Right. Kang's an asshole. There you go. Look him up. Yeah. Google him. He's an asshole. Anytime that the Marvel Universe has a time issue, dimes to donuts, that purple bastard is hiding somewhere dealing with it.
He's going to show up. And he's also kind of, he's like the time whore. Because, you know, if it's time travel, you know, Kang's got to show up. Nobody else gets any coverage. It's all about Kang. And, you know, there are some other, I don't know if I'd go so far as to call them offenders, but...
Doom's definitely on that list.
Yeah, well, I mean, the man went and hauled off and, created a means by which to time travel at will.
Right. By the way, that's how the Avengers, West Coast Avengers, got thrown back in time, was with his time tile. I need to find that in collected form. Lost space time or whatever they call it. And I need to read that hard because I forgot how much I enjoyed that. So,
yeah, that sounds really fascinating stuff.
But that's the point, is it didn't, because Moon Knight joining them was the only thing that really affected the future continuity. The Hank Pym stuff was happening outside of the time travel stuff. It was the B-line story. So the rest of them are time traveling. Hank Pym is out here essentially like this is the whole one where he almost commits suicide and then he gets brought back and he decides that he's going to be a force for good and not be such a bastard all the time. That's this story arc, but he's not part of the time travel, so that doesn't affect it. Moon Knight's really the only thing that gets changed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When they come back, all of a sudden, you know, Moon Knight's like, hey, I'm with you guys. I don't know how I got to the past, but Egypt. Okay. I'm done.
I think it's just
this
connection with Egypt. It's so strong, it doesn't matter what time frame.
Because it is really that good, okay? It is really that good a story arc. Everybody should read it. I'm going to stand by that. Doctor Strange is in it. The Fantastic Four ends up in it at one point. Just read it. Just find it and read it. And, of course, Kang is in it. But it's a Mortis.
And I think you also touched on something very important there, and that was the fact that there are so many time travelers out there. You've got Kronos and you've got your Rip Hunters and your... there are literally more time travelers than you can shake a stick at.
What's the guy on the skates or on the skis? Wasn't he?
He was like supposed to be an angel of death. Right. You're thinking of Black Racer.
Right, right. No, there was. I thought there was another one. Okay, never mind. Never mind. It doesn't matter.
Time Skier.
Time Skier. Can you add that to your echelon of?
I think we need a Time Skier because that's a. If there's anything you can ski on, it's the time.
It's the time stream, right?
Because it's like water skiing without the necessity of having something pull you.
The time is pulling.
Because time itself is actually pulling against you.
Time is what is pulling you.
Yeah. So you're just along for the ride.
Nice. Nice. And you're always waiting on time to pull you. So it's that slack where you're in the water just holding
on. Yeah, exactly. All of a sudden, there you go.
Oh, God. There it is.
Yeah. It's time. It's got me.
Yeah.
I think that Time Skier and Menshitsu need to team up. They're just like the first members of our superhero group.
Oh, Time Skier and Menshitsu. That is perfect.
That's the beginning, and we're little by little building our group. So there we are.
We're creating some universe that's just
despicable. Oh, and hey, look what I'm going to do here. In the future.
Oh, no.
You'll get to hear about more of the characters that we
have. There you go. Do you have any final thoughts, like, about time travel in comics that we should
talk about? As much as I, you know, disagree with time travel as a plot device.
Right.
Because it is a tragically hackneyed kind of device that gets a little overutilized, and it's just, done right, I think that it can still be a fun device. And I think that comes down to what you were saying about, at the end of the day, if you make this about telling a fun story.
Right.
Rather than just, you know, here's an excuse for something. Exactly. Then you're getting, that's some worthwhile storytelling. And I guess it all really comes down to the story craft. If it's just an excuse to have a character, you can... who can take care of the Mayo problem, and then you're wasting my time.
Right.
But if you're finding a way, especially like you're saying, to incorporate the past, the characters from the past, or in the case of the Crisis, the past and the future, then you've got a good thing going. And I guess really the only thing that we didn't touch on, which would be shameful here, is
Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past, yeah, which, you know, with the movie coming out and all. And that was a good kind of standalone. Beg the question of why Destiny, if she can see the future, can't see it worth a damn when it's right in front of her.
Right?
Was she so fixating on what she thought she was doing that she didn't see the future part where she didn't make it? But then that goes back to creating paradoxes. And,
right.
But it sounds like they're going to be there's some ideas in the works for the X-Men cinematic universe that they're going to build from that paradox. Because once you've undermined one future, have you opened the door for an entirely different one that may even be worse than the one you undermined? And will the people in that future have a means by which to get back to your past to screw up their future? Let's start the whole mad process again.
Be careful what you wish for. See, the plot device of time travel, to me, is like your best friend's older stoner brother. Like, it's a lot of fun, but it's really not going to accomplish anything. Like, he might teach you how to make a bong out of an apple, but he's not going to teach you how to balance a checkbook. Nothing's going to come of it. So... Besides bad.
Yeah. Things,
that's so, as a lazy writing device, stay away from it. Like you said, as a fun jaunt through history, let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah. Let's see old characters that have been around for a while. Let's do the Invaders. Let's do whatever you want to do. It'd be amazing.
And don't just, you know, bring in a character who's like, you know, Professor Zoom, who's like the, who's like a past hater. You know, from the future, he hates somebody in the past that he's yet modeled himself on, strangely. Abracadabra was perhaps one of the strangest time travelers I have to bring up, because he traveled in time yet dressed like a vaudevillian magician.
Right, and he didn't do, if I refresh my memory on this, but he didn't really do anything with his time travel, did he? Like, he was
I think he misinterpreted that idea that to a primitive culture, technology would seem like magic. He thought it was stage magic.
Right, right.
And one more I want to touch on real quick that, I, if I'm not mistaken, were meant to be from the future, were the Team Titans.
Which one was that? Which one was Team Titans?
Team Titans were, because they had a Terra.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, those. Yeah, okay.
Aware that there was a counterpart. Oh, no, actually, I'm stand corrected. They were not from a different time. I think they were from a different dimension.
They were, yes. They were dimensionally thrown. Because it was like a weird hawk guy and Terra and
Electro guy and vampire.
We'll come back to that.
Lost Boys guy.
Right. They had a weird Mobius the vampire
they had
guy.
A very pink version of Kiefer Sutherland.
I think Kiefer Sutherland's a very pink version of Kiefer Sutherland.
If you look at it now, pink as gum.
Pink, that's right. It's the Topps bubblegum pink is the color. That's right. Topps trading card bubblegum pink. All right. We're going to wrap her up.
Yeah, we got to get this going here.
We should probably start the show soon, right?
Welcome to Hey Kids Comic.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to get back to a regular schedule soon. Our flesh lives are finally coming to a point where we can do that. So thank you for sticking around. Thank you for listening. This show was incredibly fun to record.
This one was.
My final thought is go pick up that Avengers run, the 17 through 24. It is collected now. You can't buy it. It is worth every penny you will spend. It is incredibly enjoyable. There are actually some poignant moments in there, the Hank Pym stuff. None of the time travel stuff. That's just bang, bang, shoot 'em up. But
it's for fun.
But it's for funsies. So next week we'll be recording another show. You might be privy to the lost episode. You might not be. I'm just saying. You never know when that's going to pop up.
We're working on that. And, before we close this out, I can't tell you what it was, but apparently DC did a crossover thing with Star Trek.
Yes, they did.
Legion of Superheroes and Star Trek, a one-shot or something like that. And when I was researching this, I stumbled upon an image that brilliantly showed the Legion being confronted by, I guess, the villain, showing them that they'd had all these other time travelers in the past they captured.
Right.
And this one image showed all of these different time travels and whatever website this image had come from, they had gone in and identified about 90% of what was shown on that splash page or that one panel.
It's really cool.
Yeah. And like the time machine from Time After Time with Malcolm McDowell and the George Powell time machine and there was even a hot tub.
Yeah, the hot tub was back there. That was cool.
And some of the ones that they hadn't identified, I think one of them, there's just looked like this mass of ooze or swamp or something there.
Yeah.
And I think that might be the Nexus of Time from Man-Thing.
Really?
So I want to try to find that website and point that out to them. That I think that's what that is meant to be, is that Nexus from Man-Thing.
I really hope the answer is, have you come from the future? How long's it been, I wonder, since anybody updated that website and all of a sudden Cole pops up?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Do it. No, but you have to do it. You have to do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long ago that article ran. I didn't even look at anything on that. I was just
future?
That's right. Oh, and there was one other there that I think I could identify for them, but I'm not certain. But there was a Stargate. It was just a very clever idea on the artist and or writer's part. So with that, we can now let you get on with your future.
Well, guys, join us next week. We're going to record you another show. Thank you so much for sticking around and listening. And as always, buy, collect, and enjoy your comics. And whatever you do, if your mayo's going bad, don't say cable three times in the mirror.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad idea.
Remember, when you pick up back issues, it's like visiting the past.
It is. And when you go to conventions and meet new artists, it's like visiting the future. So Cole, speaking of visiting the future, what's happening Sunday?
Oh yes, yeah, because this will air before. Actually, Saturday,
Oh.
you can find myself, the unmountable Bobby Blakey, the incomparable Eddie Medina, my co-host from the Rancor Pit. Eddie and I will actually be doing a live recording of a future episode
Oh.
of the Rancor Pit. All of this and more Saturday in Dallas at the DoubleTree Hotel at the North Texas Comic Book Show, where I will be hosting moderating a panel with the creator of Todd, the ugliest kid in the, was it the ugliest kid on Earth, I believe it is, from Image Comics.
I think so.
As well as, yes, you can tell how well prepared I am. As well as the live Rancor, and Eddie, you will also be hosting a panel on cosplay.
That's amazing. That is so cool, you guys.
And of course, in 2 weeks, you can watch us streaming live on DeepLM on air with the a future episode of the Rancor Pit Live.
Very nice.
And you can find all of this and more at Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. You can follow our Twitter feeds at the Jedi Cole U for general Jedi Cole Universe stuff that I bothered to get on there and tweet, as well as the new Twitter feed, simply the Rancor Pit, which is for both the Rancor Pit and the Rancor Pit Live, and of course for conventions other than the one Saturday in the state of Texas, Convention Awareness Project Texas at Convention Awareness Project or Convention Awareness TX.blogspot.com.
Never gonna get old listening to you talk about tweets. Never gonna get old. It's I'm so now we just gotta get you to start texting and the world will be a
Yeah,
fine, enjoyable place.
I'm slowly finding my way there.
All right, guys, join us next week for another issue of Hey Kids Comics. Thank you all for listening. A good night, everyone.